From Puebla, it's Austin, Texas. This is Stacker News Live!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Stacker News Live. My name is Carl with my BFF, Keon. Keon.
Hi.
How was your week?
It was a good week. Lots of nothing happened for the most part, but it was great. Felt like almost like every other week in recent memory, and that's always good by my estimation. How about your week, Carr?
I've heard
that before.
Wait, what did Janice say?
Said I'm an Eeyore.
Oh, really? What does that mean?
Eeyore's Winnie the Pooh's friend, right? And he's just kind of like a monotony kind of.
He would have answered the how's your week just like you did.
Yeah, he's like kind of, yeah, I don't know what that is, but it's lame, basically.
Cool.
Eeyore is lame, and I am lame. How was your week, Carr? You're like Winnie the Pooh. You're the Winnie the Pooh to my Eeyore.
I really never saw Winnie the Pooh, to be honest. What was it about?
What are you guys? You like Dora the Explorer? Your people?
No, I watched Peanuts growing up.
Who? Peanuts?
Peanuts, yeah.
Okay. That's like boomer tech right there. Boomer.
I watched Peanuts and
Boomer TV.
I always liked the guy playing the piano. Always liked that guy. I don't know his name.
The guy with the blanket, or is it Charlie?
The one playing the piano. The one that always played the piano. Not the one with the blanket.
I never got into Peanuts.
Yeah. Charlie Brown, that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Winnie the Pooh, Nana, really. Garfield was cool too.
Like Garfield for sure.
Garfield is fun. Yeah. Yeah, week was good. It was a short week. I've just been really busy the past 3 days. Super busy. Getting ready for startup day, Yucatan. Like, really doing outreach for that. What else do we have? We had a really good jobs to be done kind of a workshop this week with Ted for Startup School. That was fun. Had Joe here on the pod yesterday for early days, so that was going to get released this weekend on Stacker News and then next week. What else did we do? Starting to reach out for Top Builder Season 3. So that's happening. And then there's some more cool stuff in the pipeline with some other partners in the space. Hopefully that'll get announced in probably next month, I would imagine. We'll see when they're going to... You're a part of it, too.
Oh, yeah.
So we can't say you're going to be one of the people involved.
Oh.
But we can't say anything yet. But that should be fun. And then what else? And then, yeah, the South by Southwest thing is happening. So that deadline is coming up here on the 2 days. So we'll see if that we get punched in for that. So, yeah, a lot of cool stuff happening.
Does sound pretty cool. Yeah. Sounds like a lot is going on.
Yeah, it's a short week. But with all that, we're going to jump into the top five stories of the week here on Stacker News Live. If you've never seen this crazy show, we're live on YouTube. Head over to our YouTube channel. We do this every Friday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. We lost a subscriber. Somebody didn't like last week's episode and they stopped watching.
I thought it was a pretty good episode based on memory.
I thought it was good. We talked about Domus and we talked about its new notes app. Maybe we had like a hardcore Stacker News user. They were like, don't talk about Nostr. Maybe that's what it was. Maybe, you know, maybe they're like, don't talk about Nostr.
Yeah, that's the case.
And they unsubscribed. Maybe.
Maybe it was like a bot that
maybe
they got banned.
I don't know. I've been using the Domus app like the past week, I guess. And I just have it up on my screen and then I just have that running, Stacker News running, and that's how I keep track with all the Nostr stuff. I think it's a better way to browse Nostr, I think, personally.
What if it was your sister that unsubscribed?
No, she wouldn't do that.
Would you have that conversation with her?
For sure. And then last week's most popular video was Jack's first one. Jack's video, the proto release.
Yeah, there were very few videos on YouTube about it when I looked.
Really?
So that might be why we did good. It's because like there's people are searching for it, but they can't find it.
Yeah, it had 116 views, more than the actual episode itself. So people were tuning in to learn all about the Block's new Bitcoin miner. So that's what everybody tuned into.
Blowing up, dude. 116. Wow.
People were listening to Coob and Carr about the balloon.
A nice size party.
Yeah. But yeah, subscribe, check it out. There's other videos that Wumble releases and some cool stuff. With that, we're going to jump into today's top five stories. The number five top story of the week is Rogoff admits he blew it on Bitcoin, then blames criminals and Trump. This is from Den, 12 comments, 1,226 sats. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, I guess Den... Well, there's several parts here. I think it was the IMF, I think it was, or the ECB. They admitted they were, and it might be Rogoff, I don't know. They admitted they were wrong about Bitcoin. And I guess Den chose to write about that. And they admitted they were wrong about Bitcoin, but not wrong as in Bitcoin is worth something, but wrong in terms of Bitcoin's trajectory and you know, Trump's rise and his willingness to give Bitcoin a pedestal to stand on and you know, stand out of the way for criminals to use it and that kind of stuff. And so in part this was about that and Rogoff being wrong. I guess Rogoff is a Harvard economist that, you know, is liked by other economists for some views. And I guess Dan had met him at some point and learn that he's and on the topic of money is kind of an idiot. That's you know, Den's words sort of indirectly. But that's pretty much it. This guy is wrong about Bitcoin, but he's a good economist by many people's measure in other ways. And people will probably continue to be wrong about Bitcoin. It's kind of hard to understand, even for people who should take an interest in it. You think if you were an economist and you saw a new money emerge, you'd be paying close attention because you weren't alive, maybe, or were quite young at least when past monies had emerged. You think you'd be super interested, but instead, it's like the opposite. I think it is surprising to most of us.
I think it's kind of just even we fall into that same trapping too, right? Like as Bitcoiners, we fall into staying in our own little circles and not thinking outside of our own circles for things, and you know.
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
So all kinds of biases.
And yeah.
Stuff. Yep.
Yeah. What was the top comment we had? We had Undisciplined said, earning a PhD gives you or can a fine appreciation for how little experts should be presumed to know. Simple Stacker said, don't know. That was worth 6 years of my life. Undisciplined said, probably not for that. I really enjoyed being a grad student, though. If it paid better, I might never have left. What do you mean by that?
Learning is really fun. Like when you get in the groove of it and you're just spending your entire life years of your life learning, it's amazing because you're making progress. It's like sort of a video game where you're the main character and you're getting better. You're powering up. It's hard. It becomes kind of addicting. I think that's why a lot of people end up pursuing more and more degrees.
Mm. As Corsby said, he quoted, should ban cash because criminals. And then he said, what is the line of reasoning here? Like a normal non-criminal thing can be used by bad people. Therefore, no one should use the thing. How do such people not see that? It applies to everything. And Discipline says, it's easy not to see things when your livelihood depends on not seeing them. That's true. Cool.
Yeah.
The next top story is housing prices are not high by any historical standard. This is from scores be? 33 comments, 1,055 cents. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, I guess Voskal shared his thoughts on the housing market, and it's kind of, they're kind of interesting because they run contrary to how many people either discuss the housing market or feel about the housing market. And basically what he said is that housing prices are not high, and he has some justifications for thinking that. Basically, he thinks that he represents like a point of view I've seen several times on the economy, either like wealth inequality or this housing price issue, is where, no, it's just that millennials and Zoomers are extra whiny, and actually everything is fine. It's about as good as it ever has been or better, and they're just extra whiny. And so he has some rough data to back that up. Basically saying at one line of reasoning, although he doesn't explicitly say it, but someone who shares his point of view shared at one point was that houses are bigger and the quality of the houses are better, and our expectations are that we have bigger and higher quality houses, and that's why they're expensive. But if you like compare apples to apples, they're not actually more expensive. Like, we were okay having smaller homes with, you know, crappier like situation in general. We'd have the same outcomes as previous generations. Anyway, so this is kind of what this is all about. It's like our housing prices elevated. Is it a bad time to buy a house? Or is Voskal right? And it's the same decision, making that decision today is you should make it the same way you would have made it decades ago. And there's a lot of discussion in the comments. I thought it was one of the highlights of this post is in the comments, because we have Simple Stacker kind of helping use like I guess articulating his intuition about how he would deconstruct Voskal's argument, having a lot of experience as an economist thinking about these kinds of things, and like Voskal using averages to kind of explain his argument, or these quality, what are called quality adjustments, and how like sloppy they are when used in any capacity. It's hard to price quality, really, I think. Yeah. And then, yeah, you know, lots of back and forth. Of course, Undisciplined chimes in. As another economist runs the econ territory, and yeah, a good discussion ensues. So if you want to get in the nitty gritty of this, but what do you think? Do you think housing prices are higher? You're not a homeowner, right?
No, but I think what's interesting is that, I mean, when I was, everybody knows my story, but like there was a time where we were going to purchase a house, right? Like it was right at 2019. So that was a thing that we were going to go and do. So this was like, I guess it was like right before the bubble, right? So that was a thing that was definitely happening.
The bubble still hasn't popped, I don't think.
But I feel like in Austin, there's always like we always feel it last, or it always just levels off. And it's just different here in Austin for whatever reason.
The bubble didn't pop in 2008 here.
No, maybe I just wasn't paying attention at that time, but I just feel like it's not the same like everywhere else. Maybe that's just a feeling. I don't know. But what I'm trying to say to get back to this post is like, I think just relative to this post, I think just if we're just speaking from a millennial perspective, I think the average millennial probably put off a lot of this stuff like marriage and put off a lot of home ownership till their 30s. Cause I know me and my ex didn't really look at it till our 30s. We didn't really start saving till our 30s, if that made any sense. Maybe whether that was right or wrong, you know, we didn't start looking at that till our 30s. And I don't know if that was just because we didn't really start our lives till our 30s, basically, because we were just goofing off in our 20s. So I don't know what that says about myself or, you know, my generation. Obviously, I'm speaking for myself, but so there's that. So could I have seen myself as a homeowner? Yes. Things would have turned out different? Yes, obviously. So I think there is a point to what Volskull's saying that, you know, but I also see what Ovi, so Ovi's saying right here. I think Ovi is right. Like he says 30 years ago, I was covering my rent utilities in 3 days. And I think that is true too, because when I was in my, when I was like 20 or something, I was working at the mall and like not barely making anything, you know, and still going to school and like covering my rent and utilities and stuff. So there's something to be said about that. So, but this was in Corpus though. Yeah.
Okay.
So, but I was with my girlfriend, so that's kind of different. Yeah. So I don't know. It's kind of weird. It's a different time for sure. But we obviously weren't looking for a house back then.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? We obviously weren't saving either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remember my only run-in with possibly owning a home was like around, I think it was like 2007, but I was a grocery clerk working part-time as a grocery clerk. I couldn't get a full-time as a grocery clerk. And I was looking for a place to rent because I was living behind a motel for a long time. And I think I was looking for a new place to rent, see if I could afford anything. And one of the realtors there was like, you should buy a house. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, but I work part-time as a grocery clerk. And she's like, it doesn't matter how much money you make. You could get a house. And I was like, you are full of crap, lady. I didn't tell her that, but that was my one experience with that. I think, you know, if I were to like try to get into Volskull's side of this, which I like instinctively disagree with, I would say that it's maybe that millennials and Zoomers are spending their money on a lot of other things, which is maybe causing them to have less income that they could spare for a house. Mm-hmm. Like I think about all like the services and stuff, and subscriptions that people have, and that might be what is eating into their ability to afford homes, and
right.
might cause the impression that they don't have enough money to buy a home. I'm not sure though, that I do get the sense that it's a big decision for millennials and Zoomers to make to buy a home. And in the past, it seemed kind of like a no brainer and an easy decision that past generations made. So that's
right.
That's
I do see the, and this is maybe just me speaking my own book though. I do see this next bull run leading to more citadels getting built. So I do see a pathway for Bitcoiners like coming together to build citadels that offset some of these costs. So I could see like a citadel being built in somewhere USA and then plots of land being divvied up and then home is being built on these plots of land for, you know, for houses and stuff like that. I can see that happening, which will offset a lot of these costs that we're talking about for home ownership. So I can see that definitely happening amongst a small group. So I think that'll help with home ownership and like all the stuff that comes into that.
I don't think we've seen a lot of citadels so far.
Well,
I'm actually skeptical of the concept.
Well, ones that aren't, you know, shared publicly, but I've heard of ones privately though. At least maybe about 2-3 I can think of that I've heard, but I don't, obviously I'm not going to talk about it on the podcast.
Yeah. Well, I haven't heard about any of them. And so I'm skeptical, especially I'm not skeptical of like an individual or a family buying a property, defending it well. I am skeptical of like the commune types of citadels that we hear about where Bitcoiners are like, yeah, we're all like, you know, not whole coiners, but we're going to come together and we're going to buy a bunch of land together and live on it and sort of have a commune.
It's out there. It's done already. Like there's, I'll tell you after the pod, there's like at least two that I've seen I haven't seen personally seen, but I've seen and heard from.
That's awesome. I think that, I think it is a, there's a reason it's a dream, because I think it is a very healthy.
I think if you find aligned principles and aligned morals and, you know, strong lines, you know, I think that can actually happen.
Oh yeah. Until I see it, I think I'm concerned that I'm deluding myself into thinking that kind of thing will happen. And so that's why
it's like any neighborhood, really, if you think about it. It's like any type of neighborhood that you would live in.
But most people I know haven't made a neighborhood before. And so that's where I get skeptical. It's like kind of coming together. And
yeah.
It's a lot of work to make a neighborhood.
Yeah, but so. This to have something that's beautiful like that, it requires that type of thought and care and intention.
People have to sacrifice.
Yeah, it's mostly sacrifice. Yeah,
usually on the part of a few people.
It's either that or you go out and pay those type of prices.
I don't know. I kind of don't mind pods. You know, like
pods.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it's either what we're talking about or what I'm talking about or. Live in a pod and eat bugs and insects and fight off.
You could eat steak and live in a.
I mean, you could, we'll but you're gonna be paying up the.
My top story.
Yeah.
Big story. This
week. So I mean, these are the choices that you have, and what's the saying? You live and die by your choices.
But I mean, you could switch from one pod to the other pod. Maybe you don't like a pod in that part of town. Maybe the roaches, the bugs you're eating, aren't that good.
I mean, life really is just a series of choices.
That's a great point. That is true.
The next top story is your nightmares cancellation stories. This is Simple Stacker, 18 comments, 14 or 85 sets. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, I kind of
what is this?
Foreboded. Or I hinted that about subscriptions. So Simple Stacker describes or read an article about Planet Fitness getting sued about their memberships being hard to cancel.
Mm-hmm.
And then has their own issue with WordPress. Mm-hmm. I guess it's like probably some plugin that they were using for WordPress and they had trouble canceling it. They canceled their WordPress account thinking the plugin subscription would be disabled. Apparently it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And they called and, customer service told them to do a thing and then it'd be canceled. They didn't, it didn't end up getting canceled because he ended up getting billed again. And then he ended up disputing it at his bank and then dealing with the plugins customer support again. And anyway, that was it. He used that as kind of motivation to ask us if we have any similar subscription cancellation stories.
Oh yeah. There's a ton, dude.
Yeah.
Isn't the Wall Street Journal notorious for one of them?
I haven't heard that about Wall Street Journal.
Yeah.
I've never actually subscribed to a paper before.
I feel like what's the other one? There's a lot of those. Like it's usually the old publications, the old media that's like really tough.
And I wonder if that's by design.
Totally by design.
They have no incentive to change it, or they're just so.
I've heard Bloomberg is one of them. I've heard through a source that Bloomberg is kind of like that too. Like
tech starved.
What else?
Or tech. Anemic.
What's another one? Yeah, there's just a lot of them. I've heard most gym memberships are like that too.
Yeah, gym memberships. I definitely know.
WordPress. I'm kind of surprised. I wonder. Is it through? Oh, it sounds like it's just a plugin through the marketplace. It sounds like
probably.
Okay, so it's not actually like WordPress or whatever. Interesting.
Yeah, my. Best example that I could think of was any Amazon product. Like if I try to unsubscribe from Prime, it is, and I've gone through it a few times.
Oh, okay.
And it's
that's pretty easy.
But they have tons of dark patterns where you have to click through like four or five screens. And then there are like tons of warnings. Like it's not like they prorate you and they allow you to go to the end of the year and I want to subscribe, then I want to unsubscribe and every year be reminded and have to subscribe again so that it doesn't just keep going on.
Yeah.
They don't let you do that. They like cut it off immediately.
Yep.
Audible, similar situation.
Also, I don't mind the Audible one because I feel like I'm going to you know, go through a rut where I'm going to buy like four or five right at once. You know what I mean?
Oh, so you don't cancel them?
Yeah. I like getting those, I like adding up those credits.
Oh, I don't. Yeah. I don't like that. Unsubscribing from Audible is also kind of tricky. And they do a bunch to try to keep you there. And then any subscribe and save on Amazon, it's really hard to navigate.
Oh, you do those?
I've done those before. Yeah. I just remember getting a bunch of deliveries that I thought I had canceled. And I'd only canceled like one of the deliveries.
Like your kombucha delivery, dude. Like that one. Is that the dude that comes every week? That guy?
It's not kombucha. It's
coffee. Oh, it's coffee. Oh, okay. Yeah. That guy.
I do look like a guy who drinks too much kombucha.
Yeah. Well, that dude's like, it's like, sometimes he comes and I'm just like, who's this dude again? And then I remember, because I'm like,
man. It's not Amazon, though. That's just a local.
Yeah, I know. But it's kind of funny because I'm just like, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's the kombucha guy. Yeah. Or not kombucha guy, the coffee guy.
Yeah. It's nice. He somehow manages to get up here, even though it's like a bank.
He's stealth. What was he going to say? It's totally unrelated to the cancellation stuff. I hate buying stuff through Amazon now. Because I feel like it's the return process is a pain in the ass.
Oh.
Yeah.
I haven't returned any. Most of the time, I don't even bother returning stuff and I'll just donate it.
So that's the thing I've noticed is like the return process is a pain in the ass. That and like I've noticed most of the stuff that you buy through Amazon is absolute garbage. Unless it's like a name brand product.
Yeah, it depends on what you're buying.
Yeah.
You have to be more careful.
It's just become kind of like Walmart, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's, a lot of us chimed in about our cancellation stories. And
yeah. Discord. Somebody said Discord. I've never really signed up for Discord, though.
Oh, maybe you can pay to be part of a Discord chat.
Yeah.
That's probably.
Yeah. I'll say this though. There are some Bitcoin services I really love that I'm signed up for that really make it super easy. One of them?
Stacker News, yeah. You unintentionally unsubscribe every month.
Well, no, I will say now that EK emails me a reminder, it's making it way easier. That one, Albie makes it really easy. Albie makes it really easy. Shout out Moritz. And then who else? Zaprite makes it really easy. Who else? Let me think. Unchained makes it really easy. Who else? Trying to think what other services that are out there that make it really easy in the Bitcoin space. Any that you can think of that make it really easy?
No, I haven't really unsubscribed from anything I'm subscribed to in Bitcoin, so I haven't even gone through that experience. I usually just stay
subscribed. Trying to think, what else is a really good seamless process in Bitcoin that make their services really easy?
You're not talking about unsubscribing?
I mean, yeah, sure, unsubscribing, if you want to talk about the negative.
Well, yeah.
None? Okay.
No, I don't have anything because I don't unsubscribe from Bitcoin stuff.
Oh, I think that's pretty. I think that's pretty much it. I think outside of that, yeah. Okay, let's jump into the number two top story: the Bitcoin coloring book, 21 pages to teach kids about the money schools won't. This is from Chip, August 17th. 10 comments, 3,458 sats. Keon.
Yeah.
What's this? Well, this is colorful.
Connor made a coloring book about Bitcoin.
Is Chep's real name Connor?
I think so.
Doxed.
I mean, it says right there. He doxed himself.
Doxed. Double doxed.
Yeah. I feel like I know Connor from somewhere. I wonder if they're a Bitcoin. Anyway, it's a coloring book. The PDF is up there. You can just download it and print it for your kids.
That's so cool.
You can also buy a physical copy. A lot of stackers were complaining you couldn't buy it with sats. But yeah, it's a simple coloring book, has some nice rhymes in it. Jana left, I think. Yeah. Yeah. 21 pages. It makes it look easy to create a coloring book. I mean, I might even color in this book. It seems kind of fun. And you learn a little bit, tries to teach children about Bitcoin as they color through it. I don't know how many, I don't know what age would be the right coloring age where they're also reading and able to grok Bitcoin. But if you, I imagine maybe people are coloring up to like 6 years old, maybe. I also, at one point in my life, met some adults that do coloring books, but that was like kind of a sex thing, you know?
This is cool.
Yeah.
I hate to be that guy, but man, the font, the lines driving me nuts.
Well, oh, you don't like round font?
No, the jagged edges on the lines.
Pixelation.
Pixelation is driving me nuts. Yeah,
you probably made it in Canva rather than an illustration.
Yeah, I wonder if you could run it through AI and clean that up. It looks great, though. Other than that, I think it looks fantastic. Really, kids won't even notice that, though. They don't care.
No. And you're, like, zoomed in. I'm sure.
I noticed it right away. So I noticed it from this far.
Well, don't give Carr this coloring book. See him.
It's free. I mean, I'm just, like, I noticed it from here, though, right away. I was, like, it would drive me nuts. No, it looks great though. I think other than that, it looks fantastic.
Yeah, pretty cool.
It's really cool.
I wonder what raising a child who's aware of Bitcoin
is. Dude, like, I would totally give this to, after I clean up the font stuff, I would give it to my nieces.
Yeah, you don't want to harm them with the jagged edges of
No, I would not, no, personally.
Bump but toe on.
But it looks great though. Fantastic. Jagged, good job, chap. Yeah, because you wouldn't want their first introduction to coloring in Bitcoin to be
anything less than a vector.
100%. This looks great, dude. This is really cool. I wonder where you got the idea from. Did he chime in on the comments or anything? Or
I think so.
What did he say? Oh, if you could buy a physical copy with Sats, that's a good idea, Nat. Chep says, I'm going to look into building this. I published it with Amazon, but I agree people should be able to buy this with Bitcoin. Good job. Yeah, if he's going to publish it, definitely bump up the font. Help me get a jump on investing. Cool. Good job, Chep. Do you need any comments on it, Keon?
I shared my thoughts. I thought it was cool.
Yeah.
I think it'd be neat to try to orange pill a child.
Really cool. I'm surprised, like, doesn't Spyro do stuff like this too?
They did do a book about Bitcoin that was illustrated, but it was more like an adult illustration rather than for children.
This is cool. Really cool. Let's go to the number one story of the week is Parallels. Whoa. This is really cool. Is this one of the stories from Books and Articles? Oh, it is. This is from Simple Stacker. 4,401 sats, 10 comments. If you're reading this on a phone, it might be better in landscape format. Dude, I feel like this might be the best submission yet, huh? Keon, what's this about?
Oh, yeah. So this is an entry in Fiction Month, which is running all through August here. Winner wins 100,000 sats. And the 10 runners-up, I think, get the other 100,000 sets of getting divvied out. So Simple Stacker wrote an entry here, and they chose a neat format where they have sort of a parallel universe in each, where they're quite similar, but in one universe you have Bitcoin, and in the other universe you don't.
Wait, with the two different sides?
Yep. So it's like the exact... Pretty much the exact, it's like a parallel universe, you know, exact same story, but.
So cool.
Yeah. And one, you have Bitcoin. How does that change when you don't have Bitcoin in the other universe?
Wow.
So you can read it. It's quite short, pretty easy to read, or very easy to read, and fun because you get to kind of it creates a little game where you try to figure out where the differences are between each side.
Wow.
Yep.
See?
Really fun.
This is really cool. What did you think about it?
Thought it was good. I liked it. I enjoyed reading that.
See, I was hoping somebody was going to do something really inventive with the markdown stuff at some point. Looks like Simple Stacker did it.
Yeah.
Cool. We got the top comment from Scores. We said, kudos on the format. I want to know more about Martin. Thanks. Maybe we'll explore the character of Martin later. Cool format. Glad you enjoyed it. Nice. Cool. I guess I'll check it out. Anything else you want to say about it? Or?
No, I said it.
That's everything? Okay. Sounds good. I mean, I didn't read it, so like that's all we're going to talk about. That's all we're going to talk about it.
Oh yeah, well I don't want to spoil the story.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying when Wumble clips this, they're just gonna be like, "That was it, minute."
I don't even think in terms of clips, but
that's it.
Yeah,
that's it. That's all you get.
I don't want to spoil the story.
Gian doesn't want to spoil it, so go look at it. That's all the top five stories of the week because Gian doesn't want to talk about it. Right. We're gonna jump into. Oh, should I share this? Yeah, I guess we should. So we're coming up on, actually, 200 episodes for Stacker News Live, Stackers. Oh, no, we didn't remove the slate category, but I want to talk about the show. We're coming up on 200 episodes on Stacker News Live, and I was talking to Keon right before the show about doing a DVD release. If you guys are up for it, if the Staggers are up for it, what do y'all think about doing like a best of SNL DVD? I don't think we'll get sued by SNL. You think we'll get sued by SNL if we did a best of?
Yeah, it's like the least of our concerns.
Right? You think so?
Yeah.
Because I know they have best of SNL.
But I don't think they care.
Okay, good. Well, I'm thinking about doing a best of SNL for episode 200. It would be a DVD only release, and then we would go to SNL 201. Pleb Poet has agreed to do the cover art, and still need to talk to Wumble about doing the clips. But if you guys are down, wait, here she comes.
That's me.
That was so Napoleon Dynamite. What was I going to say? But yeah, if you guys are interested in doing or interested in seeing SNL 200 DVD, let me know in the comments or in this post on Stacker News and we'll make it happen. If not, then we won't. Ideally, we would want to do it, but cool. Wanted to bring that up. And then the other thing was Keon's post. How would you feed yourself on $20 a day? Keon, why did you want to feed yourself on $20 a day?
Yeah, I got curious about, I don't know. This is a thought that occurred to me as I was figuring out what to eat for dinner, and I didn't want to cook it, and I didn't want to refrigerate it. And I was like, well, can I do this every day? How much would it cost? And how could I do it most cheaply? And it's actually a kind of a hard problem because like most of the cost benefit you get from shopping at the grocery store is that you don't have to, you cook it. And you get to buy in bulk because you have a refrigerator. But without that, it kind of limits your options. Quite a bit. Things start to get pretty expensive. So that's why I asked. And a lot of stackers had some points of view. Darth Coin ended up talking about how they do it. A lot of it seems like probably a lot of the food he was eating when he was building a citadel. Justin Shocknet also described how some people ate during his wolf pack at when he was at Wolf in New York City for their accelerator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they don't have stoves or anything. It's just near a bodega. Me and Topher stayed there for like 3 days or 2 days or whatever.
Oh.
And we just ate out the whole time.
Yeah, he said that some people got like an egg cooker. Mm-hmm. It kind of steams the eggs, and I think they had in suite like little refrigerators that they were able to use for refrigeration.
It's a small little place.
I think hot plate. I think some of them had hot plates or like Foreman grills.
But it's cheaper just to eat in New York, though, because they have like cheap Chinese restaurants and stuff.
Oh, I didn't know that. But
everything's cheap. They have like dollar pizzas too.
Dollar slices.
Dollar slices. I mean, yeah.
Yep. Well, I mean, a lot of people. Jimmy chimed in about pemmican, which I was aware of.
What's that?
It's basically beef jerky, ground up beef jerky mixed with beef fat, and usually dried cranberries or some other kind of dried fruit. But it's, you know, historically has been a food that travelers have used before refrigeration, before.
Interesting.
So, you know, like settlers and Native Americans.
Yeah. I didn't see that part where you put no without cooking or refrigeration. I didn't see that part.
Yeah, a lot of people seem to not read
that part. Yeah.
Detail. Yeah.
I think that kind of changes things.
It does.
Yeah. I think once you take out that part, I think I would just do water only then. Because you can go pretty long without eating.
Yeah, depending on how much body fat.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can go a while.
You can go a long time. You can go a really long time.
Yeah, but if we're, let's assume.
How long are you looking to go for?
Oh, let's assume a year.
Oh, no. Yeah. A year. Yeah. Oof.
Yeah. The best I found in this downtown area was
7-Eleven?
P. Terry's.
Oh, no. You can do better than that, 7-Eleven.
P. Terry's, you can get, two triple hamburgers and one double hamburger for just under $20. And at that point, you have pretty good macros where very high protein and over about 2,000 calories, which maybe a slightly higher, maybe like 2,300.
So me and Super, when we used to hang out all the time in 22 and 21 and early 23, we used to be at Club Lab and we'd hang out all the time. So we used to do a thing where we would go to church on Sundays and then we would go there super early in the morning and they would give us free breakfast. So we would go get free breakfast and then we would go to church to mass. And then in the afternoon, we would get, we would have either drinks in the lab or we would have drink, or when we're at Capital Factory, we would have free drinks. And then if we were hungry, we would go to 7-Eleven. And this one, we were plebbing it. We would go to 7-Eleven and we would get like two hot dogs and chips and a drink. And those, it was, I think it was $3 back then. And those hot dogs are big. And either we would split the hot dogs or we would buy our own hot dogs. And that was like $3 or $5. It just kind of, it just depends. And then once we moved down over here on East 6, we would either go to the pizza place that's down here and it was the calzones are like $11 or $12, I think. And that would fill up both of us because we would cut it in half and you get like he would like the buffalo chicken one. And then, so we would just split the buffalo chicken one.
At Rapolo's.
Yeah. And then we would just get the free drinks and we would have chips or something. And so we would do that all the time. And we would only eat like once a day. We would just fast for the rest of the day. And then I don't know if you remember,
you went and got breakfast in the morning.
Yeah, we would have free breakfast in the morning on Sundays. And then I don't know if you remember when we would and then when he was I'm giving away all super secrets. Sorry, Super Testnet. Oh, you don't watch the show anyway. But and then he goes, "Yeah, I do, Car." Well, anyway, the other thing that we would do is sometimes we would go to Wendy's because they would have the super cheap burgers for like 99 cents. Back when they would have 99 cent burgers, then we would do that too. So there's a lot of cheap ways to eat in Austin. Even now, you could still eat cheap in Austin if you really wanted to. I think the cheapest ways to eat, like if you're plubbing it, and this is what I used to do like in college, and I still do from time to time, is like I'll just go on a cabbage fast where like you could just buy cabbage and like sausage and like bacon, and you can make a lot of food for like a week and just eat cabbage.
Huh. I haven't heard of a cabbage.
Yeah, you just buy like two heads of cabbage and like sausage and like bacon. It's like less than $5.
Hmm.
And then you just cook that, and that'll make like a big old pot of food. You're going to be farting like hell, though, but like.
Yeah, you're a bachelor if you're eating like that anyway, so don't.
But matter. Dude, it's really good for you because it just like cleans out your system. And then the other thing you can do, too, is like make beans. You just make a big old batch of beans. That's good for you. And then what else you could do? Like potatoes are super cheap. You could eat rice. Like rice is super cheap. Lentils are super cheap.
Yeah, but that's all cooking.
Yeah, it's all cooking.
Yeah, so
I guess that's what I'm saying. Like, I think the cooking thing, you have to have fire, dude. Even our ancestors. You don't. You have to, though.
You can't start a fire on Congress right here.
I mean, you have to, though. You can get a little burner. A little small little burner like that and like make rice.
Not everywhere.
Sure, you can.
Maybe you're in an Airbnb, you're renting a room, you're in a hotel.
Yeah, they have those little small little burner things.
Your Airbnb host is going to let you.
You don't tell them.
Cook a cabbage stew.
You don't tell them.
You don't think they're going to know and you're farting up and you're like, it's all like.
Well, that's why you don't make, that's why you don't make cabbage. Maybe you make a big pot of rice and you just eat rice, like, and you store it correctly. Yeah. And then you just eat Spam or something. I don't know. Some kind of like tribe, like what he was saying, like pot of food. But yeah, I think rice and like canned meat is probably the way to go.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're living in a pod. Okay. That's the thing. You don't even have electricity. You don't have a burner.
But you have to have fire. Like you have to have fire and water. Like,
no, you have water, but it comes from like the bathroom sink, you know, like you don't have electricity. You're in a pod.
You don't have fire.
You're paying your $15 a night to be in a pod. You don't have
fire. I'd find a way to break out. There's no way. I would find a way to break. I would be like, why did God put me in this situation? That's called prison, Keon. It's like, what? Yeah, what did I do to get in prison?
Can't go to Rapolo's.
You get treated better than that. Like, yeah. Anyways, good post. Jump into the next one. I think the other one was this one. Oh, so I wanted to bring up this one was we haven't talked about this in a while, but Optimism has been doing weekly AI posts, and so I just wanted to give this another shout out because I think the last time we did this was like maybe 2 months ago, and he's been pretty consistent every week. So every week Optimism does a This Week in AI, and he did another one, and he's 2 days late posting it, but he's pretty darn consistent. So check it out. He does it every week in the AI territory. And yeah, he goes through all the AI posts, regardless of what territory they're in, and he puts it all together in a nice little newsletter format. Keon, have you been looking at these?
I have been looking at them. Yeah, they're really well put together newsletters, and newsletters are quite a bit of work.
A lot
of stackers do them, mm-hmm. or a few, actually, a few. Siggy's very consistent with theirs, but they take a lot of time to put together, and so I always appreciate it when they're done. Yeah, I think the AI ones are great because so much is happening.
It's
very hard to keep up, and having them all kind of in one place, pick and choose what you want. It's great.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. Yeah. Even to do like a Pleb Lab one is a lot of work. It's just a lot of work.
I've been doing one every...
Yeah, I don't know how you do yours every week.
I have a script that makes it quite a bit easier.
Oh, do you?
So if I'm,
you figured it out?
I'm very focused. I can get it done in about an hour.
You got it down to an hour now?
If I'm very focused, but I'm usually not, so it'll be like 2 hours. But yeah,
that's good.
Script does the hard part of like making all the markdown, grabbing all the links, all the metadata.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he goes in through, he has applications and tools, opinion, big tech, government, and then he even tags all the stackers who contributed to the thing. So if you haven't, definitely, I would share these. Other areas of the ecosystem, because I don't think there is like an AI newsletter that's out there in the ecosystem besides this. that I know of. Do you know of Keon?
Certainly not one from a Bitcoiner's lens. But I'm sure there are, like, This Week in AI, that there's probably hundreds of them.
But not from a Bitcoiner's lens.
Definitely not from a Bitcoiner's lens.
So just want to give it some love and put keep up the great work. We appreciate it. Autocorrect. Gotta love it. Cool. And then the other thing I want to bring up was this one. So this got released by a Flash. So they did a release called Bitcoin Payments in Retail, How Steak and Shake Saw Sales Rise 11%. I don't know if you saw this week, but one of the key takeaways was accepting Bitcoin payments in retail is no longer a gimmick. It can cut fees, attract new customers, and future-proof retail payments. So Steak and Shake released this tweet. It said, in second quarter of 2025, Steak and Shake's same-store sales increased by 10.7%. Bitcoin has been a game changer. Thank you, Bitcoiners, Bitcoin burgers, and beyond. So if you don't know, Steak and Shake has adopted Bitcoin as a payment solution. You can now purchase your burgers at Steak and Shake with Lightning Bitcoin, Bitcoin Lightning at lightning speed. It seems, when we looked at it, it does seem that they're using, who are they using on the back end? Did we ever figure out the nodes?
Oh, well, Flash. Flash is the company that's providing, I believe, the nodes and the UI and stuff.
Oh, okay.
Unless maybe Flash is using Spark.
Okay.
They might be. I'm not exactly sure, but Flash is definitely the point of contact for Steak and Shake in terms of their Bitcoin setup. That's why they're promoting.
Okay. Yeah. So some numbers for the people that are viewing this on YouTube. So payment fees are one of the largest hidden costs in U.S. retail. In 2023, merchants paid $172 billion in credit card processing fees. That's just stupid. Steak and Shake reports have around saving 50% on those transaction fees. So when customers pay in Bitcoin versus traditional credit cards, they're saving a lot of money. So this is coming from Dan Edwards, Chief Operations Officer at Steak and Shake. He says, our experience so far with Bitcoin has been that it is faster than credit cards. And when customers choose to pay in Bitcoin instead of credit cards, we are saving about 50% in processing fees.
I just wonder where the processing fees are coming from, because in Lightning, the sender is paying the fees. So they must be paying Flash or Spark, or maybe they're discussing the fees that they pay in terms of getting inbound liquidity. But I'd be curious about the breakdown of where they say their fees are coming from.
Well, the second thing I want to bring up was the faster settlement. So there's a much faster settlement. There's zero chargebacks because they're using Lightning. And then another operational upside is that, particularly for CFOs or CTOs that are potentially listening to this, is there's no fraud disputes. As you know, with credit cards, and we were just talking about this on the other top story this week, is that you can get into this position of like the Wall Street Journal or like any of these gym memberships where they like get you stuck in their like, they're just like vortex of like, you're stuck paying us forever and you can't, you know, you can't unsubscribe. Well, now you can't do that, right? So this is what's really cool about it. The other really cool thing is it's boosting foot traffic because, as you know, Bitcoiners like us, me and you, Keon, and everybody we know in our community are notorious, absolutely notorious for spreading the gospel and being loyalty customers. Just like last night when there's a BitDevs that was going on here at Bitcoin Park. And where do you think they went afterwards, Keon? Take one guess.
Did they go to Steak and Shake?
No, they didn't. But they went to a Bitcoin bar called, what's the name of the Bitcoin bar? Saturn.
Wait, I
thought which accepts, what do they accept? Lightning.
Ethereum.
No, oh. They accept Lightning. I stayed here because I'm dedicated to my job and I'm no fun, but I would have gone if I didn't have a lot of work to do. Which I'm saying is, like, if you accept Bitcoin at your establishment, at your retail store, at your burger bar or Steak and Shake, you're going to see boosted foot traffic, and Bitcoiners will come out there and represent, and you will get plugged, and people, you'll save money in the process. So considering all this, 95% of crypto buyers are millennials, turns out, and Gen Z. So all I'm saying, Keon, is there's a differentiation happening, and there's some new innovation around the corner. And this confirms that Bitcoin is the solution for retail, small, medium-sized businesses struggling out there. What do you say, Keon?
I say, okay. That's really all I have to say.
You're not bullish on this?
All of that. Not really in particular.
I'm super bullish on this.
I think the chargeback thing is... I had a point about the chargeback thing because you were like...
Yeah, I had to get through all this for the...
The subscription stuff... This would be actually worse because the third step of Simple Stacker's post is where he goes to his bank and he's like, these guys are defrauding me of this money. If he uses Lightning to pay for that subscription, he wouldn't be able to do that because once the money is gone in Lightning, it's gone. So Bitcoiners are just, the reason why this is good for the merchant is Bitcoiners are used to not being able to claw back their money if they have to.
Well, you do know that, like, we're also notorious for screaming at your mouth and your blowing up your socials
I'm being sort of tongue in cheek about this, but it is true. Like, there's no chargeback, which is great for the merchant, but it's also in some cases going to be bad for the customer. And so it's worth discussing those trade-offs. It's like, it'd be nice in some situations if you could actually claw back Bitcoin, but on some levels is a feature that you can't claw back.
I think it's amazing. I think this is where, I think you're even seeing with AI where they're kind of trying to figure out if, like, that bubble has burst and where is the baseline for that at some point. Like, I think this is all relative. I think this is all happening at the same time. Are we miles away from it? Absolutely. Are we years away from it? Absolutely. All I'm saying is this reminds me of MicroStrategy in 2020. Before, you know, this is all I'm saying. This is the beginning of that. That's all I'm saying. Pay attention. It's going to happen slowly, and then it's going to be the same thing.
Okay.
So I'm saying this is MicroStrategy 2020.
Interesting call. We'll see.
I'm right.
If that's true or not. It seems like there's only one. Most people are estimating that no one's really going to be able to compete with MicroStrategy. And because on some level there is a first mover advantage.
Oh, I'm not talking about the
treasury. I know.
Yeah, I'm talking about more about putting Bitcoin on its balance sheet. This is what that is. This is micro. Oh. Yes.
Okay, you're not talking about accepting Bitcoin as payment, but just having Bitcoin on the balance sheet.
Yeah. This reminds me of when MicroStrategy put Bitcoin on its balance sheet. This is the same thing of, like, a company using Bitcoin as a payment solution side by side with its fiat terminal. That's the same thing like that in 2020, what MicroStrategy did.
That's kind of my point is, like, I'm not that kind of presumes that this is... The value here is not the marketing strategy. And I think most of the value that Shake and Stake has had from this move was that it got Shake and Stake on the mind of a bunch of people who otherwise wouldn't be familiar with Shake and Stake. And if there are a lot of companies that are accepting Bitcoin as payment and using it for marketing, it has this kind of dilutive effect, sort of like adding more treasury companies has this dilutive effect to the benefit of starting a treasury company. Anyway, that's most of what I'm saying. It's like, if Bitcoin is not solving a real problem, and this is just sort of a gimmick, I don't know if we'll see more of this. I was just providing somewhat of a counter point of view.
Yeah, I can see the counter to that. I don't think that's necessarily a.
I would love to see more Bitcoin payments, though. And I'd love to see more of this. I'm just.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily think that's like a. I mean, yeah, sure, it's a counter, but I don't think that's like a. To me, that feels more like, I don't think that's a reason why people would do it. I think it's actually, you know, people out there are struggling, and they need to find some sort of a way to make more money. And
this, so you don't think this is about marketing?
No, I think this is about trying to like save and ways to make money. Like, I don't know if you saw across the street, but P. Terry's is closed today.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, look across the street. Like, P. Terry's is closed today.
I'm not going to eat under $20 today.
No, but I'm saying, like, it's because of all the fiat stuff that's happening outside that building. And
I think it's just like the city upgrade infrastructure, right?
But these are the fiat. This is the fiat establishment, like, that's happening inside the city. Like, this is where I'm trying to say is, like, this type of infrastructure that's slowing things down is wreaking havoc amongst our city. And this is going to continuously happen. And this is going to continuously force people to find other ways to save and look for ways to make, to create more value or to save money. And I think you're going to see more and more companies do that. And I think there's going to be more and more companies have to find, it's just like the Depression where people had to reinvent themselves and people had to try different things, and their other companies just closed down. And I think that's what you're going to see this decade. You're going to see more and more of it happening. So I think Bitcoin is part of that solution to making that happen. So you'll see some of them flourish and then some of them won't, but that's Carr's take.
All right. Carr's take. Weekend.
I think that's everything that we got. The last thing is Plet Poets Zine. Did you see this?
Yes, I see it every week. You ask me, and I've seen it. I look at it when.
What's this one called?
Published. Information wants to be free.
Do you want to talk about it, or?
No, I think it's usually Plet Poets segment, so we'll just honor their segment. But it's a cool zine, lots of cool stuff in it, lots of cool visuals in it, ties in a lot of older posts, makes them a little more evergreen, features some of the stories that we talked about on this podcast today, and their comments. Yeah,
cool. The next one is, let me go back here. Where was it at? We got the fountain. Oh, that's. I think that's everything. Let's see if we got any comments. Simple Stacker said, "No, not that one." Coin Supporter said, "Cool. Watch out. I should be among the top spenders there. I now have a territory too." Okay, so we're gonna go over to the Cowboy segment. Where is the Cowboys? Keon, top Cowboys.
Top Cowboys. I don't think they've, at least the top five certainly hasn't changed.
I feel like everybody has unremoved their stacker in hiding here.
Who?
I think everybody has removed their hats.
No, there's number eight. I don't know who number eight is. But it looks like Optimism has risen to the top pretty fast.
I mean, it does have a rocket ship.
That's so true.
Does make sense.
But yeah, I don't. A lot of these are familiar names, of course. That's kind of what this ranking suggests, is that these people have maintained a cowboy hat streak. It looks like Max has climbed up. JB Schertzinger. Up in there. It's a fairly static segment, which is why it's so exciting. So it doesn't change from week to week. You can watch
any week, and it's like the last week you watched. It's very reliable and consistent that way.
people tune in from around the world just for the same segment every week. So very exciting. Peter Todd, Justin Shocknet, Endothermic. Did I Play Well? They wrote a cool piece rebutting Safe Dean's Melee scorching essay that they wrote recently.
Really?
Yeah.
Who did that?
Did I Play Well?
Where is he at?
They're in Argentina. I think they were part of Melee's
presidential
campaign.
I don't see Did I Play Well anywhere.
Oh, it was towards the bottom there.
Did I Play Well?
But it was they always provide an opposing opinion to anyone who has negative commentary about Melee, because a lot of us don't know what's actually going on inside Argentina because we're not based there. So we just we read the news.
What's this?
Sometimes the news is wrong. This is the rebuttal.
South Korea Lightning asked me about my opinion on Saifedean Ammous's recent slander on Melee featured on this post. What happened with Saifedean? Oh, wow. Saifedean, no crying in the casino. What's this about? Javier Melee unraveled. Dude, what's going on Twitter, bro? What is going on Twitter? I'm so glad I'm not on Twitter.
Oh.
So, Saifedean said, Javier Melee unraveled. No crying in the casino. What is this? Last week, Argentina regime tried to roll over bonds by offering investors. Did you read this, Keon?
I don't read Safe Dean's article, nor the rebuttal yet.
It looks like a lot of... looks like a lot. Yeah,
it is a lot. Safe Dean has been kind of a bear on Melee. He kind of wanted Melee to come in there and institute, I think, anarchy day one. Or something, something akin to reversing all of the kind of fiat-ness of their government sort of immediately. And Melee's point of view is you kind of do it gradually. And I think people like Safe have an opposing view on that, and so are very critical of Melee.
Didn't we talk about that? Didn't me and you talk about that early on?
I think we did. I think there was a post. It was possibly Did I Play Well wrote a post, and we discussed it on a past podcast.
Yeah, and I think he went on, whose podcast did he go on? And then we talked about it.
Lex Friedman's
podcast. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he went on Lex Friedman's podcast, and then me and you got into a discussion about, it's kind of sad that he's not going to go full throttle on it. And then... And you got into a debate about it, and I think we came to the assumption that he's not a go all the way kind of guy. He's kind of like a baby steps Obama type of guy. Let's just steer the ship in a direction.
Yeah, hope for the best. Obama type is fair, but I don't think he.
Maybe he's not Obama, but he's more of this is the ship. I'm going to come in and I'm going to just do this.
Yeah, if you want to change your mind on that, I would recommend reading some Did I Play Well's posts, where he describes a little more detail
what Melee
is actually doing.
But I mean, politicians are like that, though. They come in, they say they're going to do this, but in reality, they're just they're going to come in and they're going to do this. And they hope the next person does this. And the next person does this. That's why I don't vote. Maybe we shouldn't have brought that up. Keon's kidding.
Well, I mean, I don't have an opinion on that. But anyway, if you kind of want to read an insider's point of view about what's going on in Argentina and Melee and why they're doing what they're doing and why it's maybe better than it seems or more of an about face than it seems, this would be the place to.
I don't know. It's not my country, man. Do whatever you want.
Even in your own country, you don't vote. So same amount.
I feel like Texas is its own country. Personally, I mean, I'm very active in Austin, and I'm very, try to do as much as I can for my community here. Try to make sure it has everything that I can possibly do. And I'm trying every day to make sure that it happens. So I'm very active with my time to make sure Austin thrives. And Lord willing, I will try to do with every last breath. But if for some reason it fails, it's not going to fail because Carr didn't try. That I can promise. So I'm doing my part, but like I can't save everybody. You know what I mean? I can give advice and I can help and I can jump on calls and give people but I'm doing the best from I can in my community and that's all I can do. Like it starts with you and like that's it. But like, you know, I feel like.
So is that like a small move of your phone or is that like a big move of your phone?
I feel like I'm just going like this all the time for my community. And like it, and I understand. And you know, like we're going to Startup Day Yucatan and we're going over there to help those people like believe in themselves and like try to start their own thing. And like, we go to other places and we try to help people start up their thing and like believe in themselves. And there's something to be said about people actually believing in you and seeing other people do it. And then, and that's a thing, but like, you know, after a while, you kind of have to just do it yourself. And you know, you have a community on the internet. Like, you know what that's like. You have a community. You know what it takes to do that. Like, it starts with the individuals there. You know the quote? Like,
what is the quote?
The quote is like, what is that? The like, never forget like five people can change the world because it's something never has or whatever.
I actually don't.
It's that quote. It's the most real quote that it's ever been. Like, it's like, yeah, it's that quote. It's true. It's like,
look it up, guys.
Somebody knows that. Somebody knows that quote. It's the most obvious quote. It's like,
it's the most so obvious.
It's the most obvious quote.
Even you don't know.
I do know the quote. I used to know the quote like the back of my hand, but I don't know it anymore because I just do it.
I see. It's like seeped into you where it doesn't have words anymore.
No, just because I live it. Just live it now.
A lived quote.
Just a lived quote.
That's how common it is and obvious. It's lived.
It's lived.
Not even statable.
It's not even statable.
Not shareable.
I feel like everybody does it. Anyways, good stuff. But it's crazy that Saifedean's targeting him.
Yeah. I mean, this is how you make a name for yourself.
What do you mean?
On the internet. This is like, I don't know. It's like clickbaity, rage bait. You have to just get in people's faces and pick fights and stuff. It's how you grow your following. It's like you join a tribe, then people who are in that tribe start following you. And now you have more followers and then you can get into bigger fights. Just keep kind of going. That's how you build a personal brand. It's how you keep your engagement high on social media, which is really important.
It's really important, is it?
Really important. If you're going to be anything, if you're going to make anything of yourself, you have to get in fights.
You
have to make sure your engagement is always growing.
I mean, there's something to be said about standing up for what you believe in. I mean, there's that. I haven't read the article, so I don't know what he's like saying here. But like, I mean, if Saifedean actually believes what he's saying, then there's nothing wrong with him saying what he believes in. So there's that. I'm sure he's coming from a good place. All right, let's, where are we going back? Oh, we're going back. I always lose my spot in here. All right, so we're going to go into the, Fountain comments. From last week's episode, Gray Ruby just zamped us. Boog said zamp. And Discipline says, was it racist that I assume Carr knew more Spanish than me?
Yes, it is racist, and I'd support it.
I don't remember. I don't remember. What did I say that was racist?
Not you. He thought that you would know more Spanish.
What did I say Spanish, though?
I think we probably talked about Spanish. I usually try to get in some kind of racial
discussion with me all the time.
Yeah, I try to. I think we started this podcast. Yeah, I was talking. You were like,
why does he think I'm Spanish?
I don't know Winnie the Pooh. I'm like, you probably know Dora.
Did he know I was Spanish though?
I think he probably does know.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
No, I would say Texas. Like I said earlier, Texas is a whole another country. So I think it's, if you come into the state of Austin, it's definitely different than like the state of like Dallas or the state of Houston or
what is
the state of like Corpus. Like Corpus is very, like where I'm from, like the state of Corpus is like, there's a lot of coconuts on discipline. So coconuts are this, they're like this brown thing that you drink from, and they're like white on the inside, and they have like water. So it's like,
it's like the metaphor. He leads to the, what does the metaphor represent?
Yeah, there you go. And then, so what's cool about Corpus is like, it's like a beach town, and like, it's very like a surfer type of town and fishing town. And there's like a military base there, and like, it's very laid back and it's chill and it's cool. Like as far as like the weather and stuff, and it's hot. And so
brown on the outside.
A lot of people are very like laid back and chill and stuff. So
they don't speak Spanish.
You'll see a lot of people there like me, basically. You can go over there and find another car, basically, if you wanted to.
Mexicans that don't Corpus. Speak Spanish. That's what you're saying.
And then you can find that too, what Keon's saying. But I will tell you this, so though.
Speak Spanish is what
he's saying. I will tell you this, though. I will tell you this, though. You dropped me in Mexico.
In Mexico, dude, you mean?
In Mexico. I do. But like the Spanish just gets. It just turns. Whoa, look at you. Right. It just turns on. Ask Francisco, like whenever we're in Mexico, ask Super Testnet. Whenever we're in Mexico, my Spanish just turns on automatically for some reason. It's weird. It just gets like.
It's in your genes.
Dude. It just gets like turned on. The
program starts running.
Whatever happens, I just go to like a taqueria or like a store and it just start talking.
Like, it just, like your brother.
It just starts coming out and just start speaking.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing. But here, for whatever reason, it just doesn't work. It doesn't come out. But I think it's just because it's like a program that just comes out, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah,
it's
activated by context.
Yeah, know, I think so.
Genes. Yeah, they're otherwise dormant.
It's dormant otherwise, I think.
Yeah, it's like when a grasshoppers turn into locusts. You're like that when you go into Mexico, you turn into a locust.
No, I think it's kind of like, you know, when you're coding a certain type of code, Keon?
You're like, telling me about code, you're going to use coding anymore.
You know when you're coding like Python versus like C++ or something? Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know how you're coding that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know you're coding like C++, and then you're just like, you know what, I feel like coding Python today or whatever.
Oh, yeah, it happens all the time.
Happens all the time.
In the middle of writing then, a program, I'm like,
you know what? I just want to change it up.
I'm going to change the language.
I feel like changing it up today. I feel like just jumping into Python today. You know, it's kind of like that. We're just like, I'm probably going to just go with some Python today and just like, you know, spread my wings a little bit because I like want to dive into the old days of Python.
C++, yeah.
Yeah. Like Java's boring me out. You know, I'm just going to go into C++ and like Java. And then I'm going to go into Python because like Python's fun again. Right. So you're just going to go Python. You're just going to start coding in Python. And just like all of a sudden your fingers just start moving. You're just like, whoa.
I didn't Coop, know I knew
Python. Who knows Python?
Yeah.
Next thing you know, you're doing all sorts of stuff. You're like, actually, I know how to do this. I don't need vibe coding to do this. And then you're just a Python developer again. It's kind of like that.
Oh, it sounds yeah, I get it now.
You get it now?
That's such a common experience that I have.
But otherwise, you would never use Python. It's the same thing.
Yeah, unless it was automatic and I didn't need to. It was just like activated. Yeah.
It's kind of like that. Yeah. I guess for Undisciplined, since he's a, what's his day job again? He's an economist. Yeah, it's kind of like that where you're like,
you're like crunching numbers. And then one day you're like, you know what? I want to crunch letters. And it just happens. It's just not, you don't even got to think about it. You're just like, yeah. You know, I'm going to crunch numbers. You know what? Maybe crunch colors today. Because.
Yeah, that's kind of what it's like, Undisciplined. That's kind of like what it's like.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was a good laugh. No, but honestly, that's what it feels like. I think that's everything we got. This was funny. This was from Vic. He said Airbnb tries to stick. So he commented on this one. He goes, this happened with my Airbnb at the 2022 Miami Bitcoin conference. He said the host tried to scam us out of $5,000 due to what they claim was a pen mark on their red leather sofa.
Wow.
How is that possible, though?
Ridiculous.
I don't know, like, how it would be $5,000, though, if it was a pen mark, though.
If leather couches are expensive. So if they're claiming that that like ruined the leather couch, the pin mark, and they would have to get either a new leather couch or.
But why would they charge $5,000 though?
It was really expensive leather. Leather couches are pricey, dude. They're like tens of thousands of dollars if you get the right.
But wouldn't they just like? Wouldn't they just like actually just take out that part and then like repatch it though? That's not $5,000.
Patching leather can be tricky. You have to find the right person who knows how to do it. You'd probably just get it reupholstered. Maybe
the whole thing though.
Yeah, and usually it's kind of tricky if there's like a grain to the leather, but it's a particular kind of leather. You can't even buy the same leather again because it was only made once. And yeah, it can be tricky.
Yeah, that sucks, Vic. Hopefully you didn't pay that. It sounds like he did. He did?
Sounds like he didn't.
Yeah. Also, too, like, dude, why were you staying at a very expensive Airbnb in 22? That's stay humble. Stay humble, Vic.
Bunch of like, you know. Fake like people who
he's super,
you know,
yeah,
big a penthouse or something.
Maybe. Yeah, he was probably staying like a Miami Beach, like super. Yeah,
it's like on super. Sailor's yacht.
Yeah, he was probably on Sailor's yacht too.
Sailor's yacht was on Airbnb.
Stay humble, Vic. That's a
back in the bear market. So.
Oh, that was super bear market.
Yeah,
which that was the last Miami Bitcoin conference, right?
Yep.
That was when the Miami Bitcoin. That was when the Bitcoin conference was good.
I didn't go to that one. The last one I went to was 2021.
Yeah, that was the last good conference. I think that was the one when Dorsey announced, or no, which announcement was that one? Was that the which announcement was that one? That wasn't the El Salvador one though. That was the 2021, right? Or the 2021?
2021 was the El Salvador.
Which was the 22 one? That was the Cash App one.
I wasn't there. I didn't go.
I don't remember that one. I
remember you guys all went.
Yeah. That was when Kyle took his shirt off, right? That was that one?
I think that was... Yeah, maybe. That was that one. I wasn't there, I think.
Yeah, that was that one. That was a fun one. That was the one with the parties on the beach, right? With all the Nostra parties on the beach.
Yeah, you're asking me. I don't know.
That was a fun one, dude. Anyways. Good times. Anyway, sorry to hear that, Vic. And that's all the stories that we got today. Cool. Keon, what are you doing this weekend?
What am I doing? I don't think I'm going to do anything. I'm probably going to, you know, do my normal stuff, which is nothing. And I'm going to stick to that. Stay consistent.
Yeah.
Good thing to do. Stay consistent. Probably work. Have stuff to do. That's about it. How about you? What are you gonna do?
I think this weekend I definitely have some work to do. I got most of it done today and this week in like 3 days. So definitely coming to work tomorrow. I got that stuff to do. My ear feels better. That's good.
Oh, congrats.
Yeah. So that feels good.
Working again, you can hear.
Yeah, I can hear. Just get some stuff done. I really no plans. I'm just mostly get work done, go to church, that sort of thing. And looking forward to next week. Next week's going to be a very busy week.
What's going on next week?
It's the last week of the month.
Oh, is that a busy?
It's usually busy. Oh. Last week of the month, yeah. Because it's the last week of August. We have we're jumping on a lot of podcasts next week for Startup Day at Yucatan.
Oh, I
see. So we'll be on, I think we're going to be on like three podcasts next week, three or four podcasts next week that we'll be doing.
That's a lot of podcasts.
There'll be a lot of car sightings on the internet, Twitter next week. We'll see.
Keep a lookout.
If you see me on podcasts or Twitter, I'm doing work.
Are you going on with,
yeah, we're going on Green. I'm going on Green Candle next week. I'll be on Bitcoin News too. And then I think we're going to be on, Thunder Funders thing next week. That's going to be like a Plub Lab one too as well. And then I'm dropping early days on Stacker News this weekend, probably tomorrow night.
Joe?
Yeah, the one with Joe. That's a good one. Yeah, definitely check that out if you're building
really interesting, like upbringing and backstory. I had no idea.
Yeah. Not sure if that's being shared on the podcast, but I will say though that if you're definitely building a Bitcoin company and you're interested of getting some alpha, definitely watch the early days episode with Joe. I don't think he's ever shared some of that information before. Because I learned a lot. I've always, every time I hang out with them, I feel like I learn stuff. So I definitely learned even more. There's one book I want to go and read that he gave me.
What book was that?
It was the Tao of,
Charlie Munger?
No, not that one. It was, let me pull it up here. Give me a second.
Okay.
See if I can find it.
Tao. I don't think I've.
Hang on. It's the Tao of. Hang on. Let's see if I can have it here.
The only the Tao of that I'm familiar with is a Charlie Munger one, which was good. It was a very good. A good book for someone who hates Bitcoin.
Especially. The Tao of Capital.
Oh.
Austrian investing in a distorted world. Yep. It's that one.
Oh, but it's not. Okay.
Yeah, I want to read this one.
That's nice.
Cool. So anyway, so we talk about a lot of stuff, but definitely check that out when it gets released.
Survived how many bear markets?
I think he said he started in 2015. They had the idea in like 2015 or something.
Yeah.
And then they started like 2018, 2017, somewhere around there. I forget the exact dates, but they've been around for a while. But apparently him and Drew have been at it. Like they've been working together for well over a decade at this point.
Wow.
Just as a team.
Incredible that they kept it together.
But his experience, dude, is just, it's pretty sharp. Like once you start talking to him, you realize that like he just has a ton of, it's kind of sad too. Like when I was talking to him, I did feel a sense of like, he's probably like, you know, when you're talking to somebody that's far more experienced than you.
Oh, no, you feel so behind.
Well, not even that. You just feel, you get a sense of like a charity case almost like you feel like, man, I'm.
Oh, they're doing you a favor. They're making a sacrifice to be engaged with you.
Well, not even that. Like, it's like, man, I feel like I'm wasting his time by like not providing any alpha for him. That makes any sense.
Oh, yeah. I have that with everyone. Just a normal person. I have that experience where I'm like,
yeah,
I'm creating a negative experience for their life.
Yeah.
That's how I
feel. I did get a sense of that most of the time. But I mean, in that respect too, I do feel like I do pay it forward though.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, that's
there's that too.
That is the benefit that you're giving someone like Joe, is that you're helping them spread their experience,
mm-hmm.
which is super nice.
Yeah. Anyways, Stackers, have yourself a great weekend. Keo.
What's up?